everybody. Today's a great day. You know what today is? We get to sit down and talk to some folks that are just like the joke that your uncle used to say when he says, hey, these three guys walk into a bar. I know two of those other guys. We got them here today. My name's Stu Turley, President and CEO of the Sandstone Group, and I'm just one of those podcasters. I got the Energy Newsbeat podcast, and first around the corner, we have the RT. RT is an executive over there at Pecos Operating. He's the podcast host for The Crude Truth. Welcome, RT. How the hey are you?
Oh, I am doing great. Recording from West Texas this morning.
An undisclosed location in West
Texas. We can say that. Yes, an undisclosed West Texas location. Thank you to everybody out there listening. No matter what time of day it is, be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us 5-star reviews on our podcast stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And this is now available on all really cool places that you listen to your podcasts. Mr. David, David Blackman. He's one of my most favorite habits for the day.
I'm a hard habit to break, Steve.
Oh, you are. And he's a Forbes contributing author. He has got the Substack. He's got the Texas legislature thing in Substack. But most importantly, it's the energy absurdity of the day that you get to go ahead and subscribe, like, and everything else. And he's the podcast host for The Energy Question, as also the Energy Transition Weekly Edition. Welcome,
Dave. That's right. That's right. We have fun with that one, man.
Oh, it's a hoot.
Too much going on.
All three of the podcasts are going off like you wouldn't believe. We'd like to give a shout out to everybody. But let's get started on the show today. We got a couple really big ones rolling around the line here. And speaking of being addicted to something funny, I need all the help I can get, David. I got tickled when I read your energy absurdity of the day on your Substack. And the title is, I'm going to read this and I want your opinion because it's nice hearing it from you. Wednesday's energy absurdity. LA Times writer cries out for her very own energy absurdity designation and gets it. Okay, that you had me on that one. And then the next quote, I'm just going to read a couple quotes here, David, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and RT. Sometimes it's almost as if these absurdities literally write themselves. It's the case that Tuesday when I read an op-ed recently published by the LA Times, I'm ready to trade in my electric car, and here's why. Man, that's some real energy absurdity bait right there. But wait, not only it gets better, take a gander at the 10th paragraph in the story. I could fill up a book. This is the author. I could fill up a book recounting how many frustrating and absurd experiences I had charging my car over the last 3 years and 3 months. And I haven't even hit 23,000 miles on the car yet.
Isn't that something? I mean, and God bless her. It's a young lady. I'm sure a young lady named Mario Garza, who is not just a contributing writer to the LA Times, one of the biggest circulation newspapers in the country. She is the deputy editorial page editor at the New York Times. So, you know, or at the LA Times, excuse me. And the story just, I mean, it's hilarious to read it if you're somebody who views electric vehicles as I do, which is just an absurd, ridiculous project by the federal government to try to replace gasoline-powered vehicles that can't work just due to all the limitations surrounding them. But, you know, the story is just this litany of complaints about how difficult it is for her to find a place to recharge her car. Yeah. And even when she finds a set of charging facilities, a lot of them don't work. They're out of order. Their service record is awful. There was a recent study conducted by one of the universities out there in California that found that 23% of the charging stations in the state of California at any given time are non-operable. And so even when you look on your little app on your phone and it says, well, there's a start charging station over behind the Whole Foods or in the Target parking lot, you get there and the thing's out of order. So you've got to go look for another one somewhere. And all the time, your lithium-ion battery is discharging very rapidly and a lot more rapidly than Tesla or the other manufacturer assured you it would when you bought the car. And so it just, it's a classic, you know, and she makes it very clear in the story. She loves her car. But one of the funniest things she says is, I love not having to fill up with gas, right?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you love that? It takes 3 minutes to fill up your car with gas. Even with a high-speed charger, it takes you half an hour to fully charge your lithium-ion battery. And it's not free. I mean, people seem to have this thought in their minds that recharging your car is free. Yeah. At the high-speed chargers now, at some locations in California, it's going to cost you more than $50 to charge that battery. Okay? Whoa. None of this is free. Struck me as funny, so I wrote about it, which is what happens to me every morning. It's why I do those things.
It's why you do it,
RT. It's why I do them.
On what you think on that?
Well, I think people are confused right now. I think we have people that truly have mental health problems that they're pawning off as individualism. I think people are looking at electricity in a way that is not that is not real. It's a fugazi, as they would say up in the Northeast. Like David just said, certain people would say up in the North.
Is that a Yiddish word, fugazi? Anyway,
it's not free, you know. I read something the other day that Graham Holt said that it's like, hey, you know, solar is free and we need to get it to everybody. But yes, solar is free. Harnessing it is not free. Okay.
Right. That's,
you know, and so I could sit here and say oil is free, but harnessing that oil is going to cost money. And for us to be where we are and have somebody like this write this entire article about, I don't like this, I don't like this, but I love not filling up with gas. It almost reminds me of a goofy old movie called 10 Things I Hate About You, where the whole
end. I love that movie.
And and at the end, she's there. I hate the way you do this. I hate the way I don't hate you at all. It's like, it makes no sense at all, you know? So unfortunately, California is doing everything wrong. The good news is Gavin Newsom is not running for president. So so that's good for right now, I guess.
I'm not putting any money on that.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, the bad news is he's not running for president because Joe Biden is running. So got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, got to take it.
We're not even to the election yet. We got a long way.
We got a long way to go.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if we didn't even see Michelle Obama show up.
Why not? Nothing would surprise me anymore.
I agree.
And anyway, hey RT, what about the other story that you had coming around the corner? What was that thing about?
Oh man, I wanted to kind of just highlight. I have been on the go, and I've been at some great events, been invited by the Oil and Gas Workers Association.
Nice.
And their president is Matt Cody, here actually in Midland. And I had the opportunity to go to some events with the ladies of Congresswoman Lauren Boebert. And I even got to hear Carrie Lake speak. She's still. Yeah. And I know she's still embattled there in Arizona. But I'm hearing rumors that she may be on a short list for VP. But hey, we can get into that later. But you know what? Here's the one thing I do think that was very nice listening to Lauren Boebert and Carrie Lake. They're both America First ladies and they're both pro oil. But let me also say this, they're also for affordable, abundant energy. Okay. So, you know, right. So that's also something that was very exciting. So I just can't thank the OGWA, Oil and Gas Workers Association, enough for inviting me to those events. And I was at another one here in Midland. The good news here in the state of Texas, we passed through the House, we passed through the Senate, a bill where we ban gas bans. Dallas was in the process
banning the bans.
I went to Oklahoma State. What is a ban?
Yeah.
Is this Bam Bam out of the Flintstones? What is that?
Basically, you know, they've now done the same thing like they did with fracking a few years back in Denton when Denton City outlawed fracking. The state came in and said, no, we can't do that. Well, the city of Dallas was trying to literally ban gas-powered stuff like lawnmowers and other things and natural gas. And so the Senate has passed here locally in the state of Texas a ban to not have gas ban. David, is that right?
They're going to make it illegal for local jurisdictions to enact bans a ban on natural gas hookups for new home building. And and that's good because, I mean, those things are being done all over the country.
Hey, yeah. This is Elon. Hang on. Elon. Hey. Hey, that suggestion I turned in on the suggestion box. Yeah. How about a zero turn Tesla? Yeah. That'd be great in mowing them yards. I think Austin needs a bunch of them.
There you go.
Wasn't that great? He
loved it. That was great.
I'm sure he loved that one. So I got to tell you, I'm going to give you a preview of tomorrow's absurdity. This comes from a reader named Douglas Hardwick, LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
He sends me links and he's a great guy, really fun guy. He's got his own podcast, too. And, anyway, he sends me links to two stories. One's a Bloomberg article, and it goes to this gas ban about a ban in Oregon that the industry's fighting back against, right? And who is helping to support the ban on new gas hookups in the state of Oregon but old, reliable Jane Fonda, who doesn't even live in Oregon. But Jane Fonda signed a letter of support for the gas ban. Then he sends me a link to a second story, which was published the same day as the Bloomberg story, about Jane Fonda and her, I guess, soon-to-be ex-husband putting their Los Angeles home up for sale. $8.5 million home. Got photos of all the stuff in the house. And what do you see in Jane Fonda's home? Natural gas fireplace in the living room, a natural gas fire pit, and a natural gas grill out on the patio. It doesn't have any photos of the kitchen, but I'm sure if you had a photo of the kitchen, you would see a natural gas stove in the kitchen. Okay. But this is who's signing the letter supporting the ban on gas hookups in the state of Oregon, Jane Fonda. It's the height of hypocrisy, and it's the political left in action. Anyway, that's going to be tomorrow's absurdity.
Nice. So instead of NIMBY, not in my backyard, would it be NIMBA, huh? Not in my home?
Not in my home. Yeah. What would that be? NIMH.
Well, David, you also, RT, those were some great points. And I want to give a shout out to Matt real quick that he's now on the Sandstone Media's podcast family. He's got like 15 episodes. We've already put out two that he's been on with you before on his channel. It's just now starting to rumble through and being uploaded as we speak to the Apple. And just like all of our others are available all over the place, it's just now starting to roll through the system. So shout out for Matt. He's a new podcast host for Sandstone. So, David. Oh, yeah. We love Matt. Love us some Matt. David, what about them BRICS things? You had mentioned something.
Times of India reporting today, and today we're recording on April 26th, that BRICS, the BRICS alliance, which currently consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, has now received applications to join from no fewer than 19 different countries, including Saudi Arabia, including Iran, including Argentina and Kazakhstan, and Egypt has applied to join. All these big economies from around the world now seeking to join the BRICS alliance, which is already, by the way, just the five countries that are in it now currently have a bigger gross domestic product collectively than the G7, which consists of the United States, Japan, France, Italy, Germany, and the United Kingdom, in addition to the rest of the European Union. And so this alliance is about to become the most powerful economic and international trading force on the planet. And that's going to happen later this year when they meet in August or in September. And I mean, just just including Saudi Arabia in that alliance would give it geopolitical leverage where energy is concerned. It would be unparalleled in world history. So you think our country is facing challenges domestically, just wait until you have 25 members in the BRICS alliance instead of five. It's going to be a tough deal to contend.
David, I've got to ask this question. How can we stop it? What can we do? Is there something we can do?
Well, I mean, this is all happening. I guess I should add that this is all happening because of the Biden administration's overt efforts to destroy our country's longtime 75-year relationship with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Okay, that's why this is happening. And these other countries see Saudi Arabia about to join BRICS and add Saudi Arabia's oil production to Russia's oil production and China's buying power and India's buying power and South Africa's buying power. And now they see Saudi Arabia about to jump into that deal. And they're all like, oh, well, gosh, we need to be a part of this, too, because our country's biggest customers are those countries. And our country's biggest oil supplier are Russia and Saudi Arabia. And this is all happening because of Joe Biden's fist bump with the prince last August.
Well, it's the fist bump that will live on in infamy is what I called it. Yep. But here it's also tied to the Petro One. And when you're saying that China, and it is the Biden administration's sanctions on Russia frivolously going around the world and driving people away from the U.S. and the mismanagement of this current administration. Right. Period.
It's the Biden administration's use of money as a weapon of war. And these countries are not responding to that well.
Nope. Nor should they.
And it's going to cost us and our grandchildren enormously in the decades to come.
The American dream is gone, RT.
You know, I'm quiet, you know, because all I can do is ask questions on this one, because I know how serious BRICS is already with those five countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. That's BRICS. And I know as a small independent operator, there's nothing that I can do today. You know, I just hope the big boys are out there at least still talking to Saudi Arabia going, hey, you still have, you know, and by big boys, this is all I can hope, because this is what I would do, is I would still be going up to Saudi Arabia going, I am still your friend. I am still here. Let's figure this out. But I don't know if that's going to work. You know, I mean, I know sometimes if my dad upset somebody out in the field, they're not going to do work with us, or, you know, if that were to happen, you know, it's like, hey, let me try to, you know, but meaning, hey, Joe Biden has really upset a lot of other people in the world. And I don't understand how 50% of this country can be okay with that, that they're okay with the power of the dollar continuing to go down, our security as a nation continues to go down. So I am worried. And that's why all I can do right now is ask questions and go, how can I help? And what can we do?
You know, and that's a critical thing. When you sit back and think, energy is the best place to be. We're going to need the oil and gas no matter what happens. And even no matter what political thing is going on, the oil and gas workers of the United States are critical. They're going to be the 911 folks, you know, providing power. You're going to,
as they have been so many times in the past. Yes,
exactly. And in the East Coast, I guarantee you, you know, you and I, RT, have laughed about oil saved the whales the first time, and oil will have to save the whales the second time, since there's so many. Is it 30 or 40 whales have been killed up in the East Coast already? That's because of the wind farm, or the wind farms.
It's hard to keep count.
It's hard.
I mean, it's like there's a new story every week.
I want to thank all our listeners for listening. And I mean, have a rational conversation with people that maybe do not agree. Let's not get in their face and just point at them, but let's just do our best to have a conversation, kind of like with David's energy absurdity of the day today with that editor in California. You know, some people believe this is the right thing for the world, but the rest of the world is not doing this. And unfortunately, in this instance, the United States is so small that we're already doing everything we can to be green and be a great nation, but the rest of the world has to get behind this. And that's not happening with countries like China opening up a new coal power plant every week. India continuing to buy more and more oil as a developing nation. So, just thank you for all our listeners. David, really, this is almost a public service announcement, this deal that David just said. And hopefully we can make a clip of it, Stu, and kind of maybe put it out there even earlier, kind of when he just started this one, about 19 other people want to join, because this is serious. This is not a joke. And because if this happens, we are headed down a path that we can't win without, unfortunately.
We only got about three more minutes. Outstanding points. I didn't mean to interrupt, but there was another article that just came out a little while ago that said that China had bought more gold in the last several years than any other time. And the only way to get off of the world's standard for the U.S. dollar is gold back. And so what you're going to see is a gold back situation coming up around the corner in order to change it. So people don't understand how important David's comments really are. I mean, it really truly is validated in about 16 different ways. Anyway, with that fun thing, let's go have a beer. And RT, what are your...
I need some whiskey, I think, man.
I'm going to get a hammer. Let me find a hammer and absolutely hit my head. RT, what do you got coming around the corner, and what are your last thoughts?
Well, let's just have open dialogue with people. The Constitution says we can disagree, but we got to still talk civil to everybody. This will be a few weeks out, maybe around the time this podcast is actually out, but I just interviewed Jeff Krimmel. For those of you on LinkedIn, he has been doing some great financial overviews from natural gas to service companies, and wow, I learned a lot. I recommend all of us to definitely invite him on your podcast, on your shows. He was really exciting. I'll do another teaser. As long as schedules continue, next tomorrow, I'm interviewing Christy Craddock.
Awesome.
Another one of the railroad commissioners. We're going to talk about how she's defending us from the Biden administration and everything that she's done with the software of the railroad commission to really get us into the 21st century.
Do you have that scheduled with your producer? is that on our producer schedule?
Oh, that one. Yeah, I've got that one covered.
Okay.
Fantastic, man. Give her my regards. She's done fantastic work as a commissioner, and so is Jim Wright, and they're just all doing a great job. Wayne Christian, of course.
Yeah.
And people don't appreciate enough the sacrifices these statewide officials have to make to serve in those offices for not a lot of pay.
Yeah.
They've really done so much at the Railroad Commission over the last 5 or 6 years to upgrade the services, upgrade the staff, and ensure that the oil and gas industry is properly regulated in this state. It's a regulated industry, and it needs to be, and it's something we don't talk about enough, and we should all really appreciate the job they're doing there.
You bet. Last words there, David.
That's my last words. God bless the Railroad Commission.
God bless Texas.
God bless Texas. Absolutely.
Right. Hey, for everybody, thank you all very much. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your pastor, and we look forward to seeing you next week.